You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Desert Storm has subsided. And for that, you and I thank God. Now, of course, we thank the men and women who were involved in Operation Desert Storm. Their resourcefulness, their courage, their devotion to duty, the ingenuity of those who developed the smart weapons, the years of military training that paid off. For all these reasons and more, we say thank you to the people of Operation Desert Storm. And we do not forget those of you who are grieving. A friend or family member killed. To you, we give our deepest condolences. And more, we pledge ourselves to pray for you. We pray that God will sustain you in your great loss. The eternal God is your refuge, Deuteronomy 33 says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's our prayer that those everlasting arms will hold you up in your weakness and grief. Yes, indeed. We do give thanks to all who served in the Gulf War. But above all else, I thank God, and you should too. Without his aid, it would not have turned out the way that it did. Ours was not the first superior military force gathered in the Middle East. Long ago, the army of Sennacherib was on battle alert. Sennacherib's army looked invincible, but God wiped it out overnight. God could have dealt differently than he did with us. The quick and decisive end to the war, the casualties. Casualties so low that General Schwarzkopf said it was almost miraculous. These are mercies of God. We didn't earn them, and God didn't owe them to us. Yet God lavished mercies upon us. So as we thank the people of Operation Desert Storm, I hope that you share my sentiments in giving the greatest and the most enduring thanks to our merciful Heavenly Father. Thank you, O God, for hearing our countless prayers and granting a quick end to the terrors of war. Thank you, O God, for rebuffing a tyrant who has no regard for the value of life. Thank you, O God, for shining the ideal of freedom in our land and reminding us of its great cost. Grant that we honor the ideal of freedom, not only when it's economically advantageous, but whenever that precious principle is threatened. Thank you, O God, for the low number of Allied casualties. The number of lives spared is truly miraculous. In the families where there are grief and tears because a beloved soldier will never come home, show yourself a God of compassion and help, aiding those bereft of dear companionship because of this war. O God, since by mercy you have granted us a victory, teach us now, O God, how to have peace. Yes, teach us, O God, how to have peace. The ceasefire of the past week is most welcome, but it hasn't ended the hatred and alienation that so many people feel toward one another. Hatreds and tensions continue in the Middle East. Shiite Muslims are challenging the Iraqi regime. Reports come of thousands still being killed. Hatred and alienation continue in the New World Order. The ceasefire hasn't ended the hatred and alienation in the rest of the world. Last weekend, Latvia and Estonia joined Lithuania in overwhelming votes for independence. Later this week, the Soviet Union holds a referendum on its future. Serbs and Croatians are skirmishing in a disintegrating Yugoslavia. One thing is certain, the ceasefire has not ended the hatred and the alienation that republics and ethnic groups have toward one another. The ceasefire hasn't ended the hatred and alienation of people right here in the United States. Our streets are lined with yellow ribbons to show support for our troops. That's fine, but those yellow ribbons can't do a thing to change the terrible fact that last year in the streets of America, some 24,000 people were murdered. What a toll from domestic war. And no ceasefire has been declared. Hatred and alienation continue within so many of our homes. Many of these homes have been flying the American flag proudly. We did too. Every morning Diane would put it out. But the flag can't change the terrible fact that many American homes are filled with enmity. Husbands and wives are at each other's throats, sometimes with angry words, sometimes with physical abuse. Children hating their parents, and parents hating their children. Thank you, God, for the welcome ceasefire in the Middle East. But teach us, O God, how to have peace. Teach us to stop hating. End our alienation. Give us peace, O Lord. Give us peace, not only in the far-off Middle East, but also right here at home. There is a way for you to have this peace. The world may not embrace it. The New World Order will have its wars and rumors of war, but there is a peace for you. The more we Americans embrace this peace, the more we'll see hatreds and alienation disappear. The purpose of today's program is to offer you this divine peace. Listen to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Now that we are declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who provided us with a way to come into this grace in which we stand. And our boast is based on our hope for God's glory. More than that, we also boast of our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces a genuine Christian character. And a genuine Christian character produces hope. In this hope, we will not be disappointed, because the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, has poured God's love into our hearts. To be sure, at the set time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, it's a rare thing that a person would die for someone who is righteous, though perhaps a person might be brave enough to die for someone who has been good to him. But God shows his love for us by this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now that his blood has acquitted us, we are even more certain that he will save us from the wrath of God. For if we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son when we were still his enemies, we are even more certain, now that we have this changed relationship, that he will save us by his life. More than that, our boast is only in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given us this changed relationship. Let me talk about this passage, and in so doing, I hope to explain how God offers you peace. Not a ceasefire, but real peace right now. This passage from Romans hit me very hard about 10 years ago. It hit me with a devastating spiritual impact. I felt like Goliath being hit by the stone from Little David's slingshot. Or maybe it'd be more appropriate to say that I felt that I'd been targeted and hit by a cruise missile. Two separate thoughts came together in my mind and struck me hard. The first thought was this. The Bible passage says, Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, I've always thought that's really great. I've got no problem with that. Jesus died for the ungodly people of Bible times, the publicans, prostitutes, thieves, murderers. He died for ungodly people today. Drug dealers, rapists, mafia, gang lords. Why, Jesus even died for Saddam Hussein. Maybe that surprises you. But the Bible makes it clear. The Bible says he died for all. The only thing Saddam Hussein or any ungodly person has to do is come to Jesus with a humble, repentant faith. That's what the malefactor on the cross did, and he was saved. So, Christ died for the ungodly, it says. I've got no problem with that. I've always thought that's just great. All the while I've been thinking how nice it was that Jesus died for all those ungodly people, I've also had a second thought. I've always thanked God for making me a Christian. I praise God that I was born again when I was only 2 weeks old. I've gone to Sunday school and church my whole life long. I had the privilege of going to a Christian day school. God placed me in a fine Christian home for which I can never say thank you enough. All my life, I've known the blessings of the Christian faith, and I've known that Jesus died for me. Now, when I put those two truths together, the Word of God struck me like a spiritual cruise missile. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for the ungodly. I, therefore, am one of the ungodly people for whom Jesus died. Pow! Me? An ungodly one? Yes. Paul says in verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son when we were still his enemies. Pow! When Jesus died for the ungodly, he was dying for you, Dale Meyer. The cruise missile of God's word struck my heart. And it should strike yours, too. Paul says we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son when we were still his enemies. Pow! Talk about hatred and alienation. The Bible says that you, dear listener, and I were enemies of God. The cause is your sin. Sin is your failure to obey God's commandments. Now, we often assume that God is like us, human beings. When we sin against him, we assume he doesn't like it, but he lets it go. After all, God should know that we're not perfect. But God is not a human. He's totally holy, totally righteous, and totally just. He hates sin, and your sins have alienated you from God and made you God's enemy. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 talks about the wrath of God that threatened us sinners. Pow! No matter how good you think you are, no matter how good I think I am, God's condemnation of sin strikes us sinners like a devastating spiritual cruise missile. It struck many soldiers in Operation Desert Storm. One soldier wrote to me and he said this, within a month of my arrival in Saudi Arabia in August of 1990, I started to review my life and what I found was not good. It was right then and there that I realized that if I were to die, I would not have felt good to confront the Lord for my life. Jesus Christ has come to that soldier with a divine peace. Jesus Christ has come to me again and again with a peace of knowing that my sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ wants to come to you and to yours with that same marvelous peace. He wants you to know that he has changed your relationship to God. The Bible says, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, it is a rare thing that a person would die for someone who is righteous. Though perhaps a person might be brave enough to die for someone who has been good to him. But God chose his love for us by this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now that his blood has acquitted us, we are even more certain that he will save us from the wrath of God. For if we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, when we were still his enemies, we are even more certain now that we have this changed relationship, that he will save us by his life. Divine peace is yours when you put your trust in Jesus and follow him. A Lutheran Hour listener wrote to us from Iraq. That's right, wrote to us from Iraq. The listener says, I am writing this letter just to tell you how grateful I am to your radio programs, through which I learned how to be a good follower of Jesus Christ, a new creature in him. I know that Christ is living within me. I trust him and love to serve him. God has given that Iraqi listener divine peace, and God offers that to you now. With all the problems going on in the world and in your life, God offers to you His peace right now. His peace spills over from your forgiven heart to the way you confront the battles of your life. It is the best way for you to cope. St. Paul says, "Now that we are declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who provided us with a way to come into this grace in which we stand. And our boast is based on our hope for God's glory. More than that, we also boast of our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces a genuine Christian character, and a genuine Christian character produces hope. In this hope, we will not be disappointed, because the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, has poured God's love into our hearts." Endurance, character, hope. These are the qualities that accompany divine peace, and these are the qualities that you need. These are also the qualities that America needs. Think of the soldiers coming back home. They're going to ask, "Why did God let us get to the point of war?" Think of the pilots who have been bombing Iraqis. They did their duty, but now many of them will be tormented by guilt. Think of the Vietnam vets who did not receive the support and cheers of Desert Storm soldiers. Aren't they hurting? Think of the families who welcome back soldiers, men and women changed by combat, men and women who have so much to work through in their minds. Think of the grieving families who are not welcoming back their loved one. An earthly ceasefire can't help with these post-war problems, but divine peace can. God's peace in Jesus offers America endurance, character, hope, and that America needs in the days ahead. Yes, thank God for the ceasefire. Thank God for all the mercies He showed us in the past weeks. But now let us learn from Him how to have real peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen.